Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, the day before tax day, the day before Tea Party Day. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the show. Our phone number, as always, is 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room, twiddling the dials and hovering over that telephone, waiting for it to ring as you call in to join us on the air. Now, the Dow Industrial Averages basically ended 138 points down. Started about 80 down, then, of course, the morning started climbing, getting closer to zero. Then as soon as Obama started speechifying, the bottom just fell out, and it just fell right back down there. And I think the reason, and remember, this is the speech that yesterday was saying was the reason the stock market did so well. Because everybody was anticipating that there was going to be some new information about the financial policies of the federal government that was going to justify this exuberant enthusiasm and confidence in the future of the economy. Well, basically, Obama came out and he made another campaign speech. And he's been saying the same things he's been saying all along. And he said it very well. But the problem is that he talks about all these things we would like to accomplish. We want to see this happen. And he doesn't set out how he's going to make any of it actually work. And what he's basically doing, he's trying to instill hope in people, because that was the crux of his campaign. We bring hope. We bring the belief that we can make a better future. Well, I'm sorry. Hope and belief are great for a campaign, and they're great for a church. But in the real world of trying to make things actually happen, you need something of a little bit more substance. And what Obama was saying is the federal government, they're going to go on doing what they're doing now and hope for the best. But if you look at it, and in the middle of his speech, he's talking about we're going to create 3 million new jobs by the end of the year. Yeah, that sounds really good for a soundbite until you realize that by the end of the year, we will have lost 6 million. So what Obama is actually saying, his message of hope is that by all this sacrifice and all this work that we're doing, we're not sinking quite as fast as we were before, but we are still sinking. And the only suggestions that he was making about things that we're really going to do involve adjustments to tax credits here and rule change over here. In other words, it's all paperwork solutions. They're still not addressing the fundamental problems with the economy, and I think that's the reason why the stock market fell after he was done talking. He didn't really come up with any answers. He just restated the problems brilliantly, as he always does. Now, today is the anniversary of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And obviously, as has become the case with a lot of American history in this day and age where we know the government and the corporate media lies to us about a bunch of stuff, there have been a lot of questions about how and why Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. What was the reason John Wilkes Booth, a very successful actor of his day, got involved in such a terrible crime? And there was a lot of conflicting information and a lot of evidence, but certainly far more was going on than the American public was given to understand at the time. And we've already mentioned earlier in the show a couple of weeks ago that one of the possible motives for Abraham Lincoln's assassination was that his economic policies in the United States were a direct threat to banking interest. Instead of borrowing money at very high interest from the Rothschilds Bank of Europe at 24% to 36% interest, Lincoln simply printed up the greenbacks through the Treasury Department like the Constitution allows. The other issue related to why he may have been assassinated, since the Civil War was over and killing him was not going to help the Confederacy any, but it was a question of how the Reconstruction was going to be handled. And Lincoln was favoring a gentle Reconstruction. Let's welcome these states back into the fold and just get our country running again. There were other interests, including the banking interests, that wanted a much harsher Reconstruction, where there was going to be economic punishments on the South for decades after the war, and they were looking forward to making huge amounts of money off of that situation. That didn't work because of Lincoln's policies. And so we know that even at the time, there was a conspiracy, because the United States government executed six other people for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, including Mary Surratt, who was the first woman to be executed by a federal court in U.S. history. as far as whether the conspiracy went beyond them. There's a lot of evidence pointing at Secretary of War Edwin Stanton, who was very much opposed to Lincoln's stated plan of returning the United States to its pre-Civil War constitutional republic structure, which would have weakened the newly emergent federal rulership and certainly weakened the War Department. And so between the two, you know, Abraham Lincoln was really just angering a lot of people, much as John Kennedy did somewhat later. Now, getting on to tomorrow. Tomorrow's tax day. It's the last day to file your paperwork with the Internal Revenue Service, whether that's a tax return or, as is increasingly apparent, a request for an extension. Apparently, more and more Americans are going to be first-time delinquents. They just don't have the money to pay it. And as a result, there are massive, massive tax protests scheduled all across the country for tomorrow. And I want to tell you the panic that we are seeing from the federal government, and even the state-level governments, but mostly the federal government. The propaganda is just, it's silly. I have no doubt that in years to come, public relations people and spin doctors and propagandists are going to study what is going on right now, and they're going to see, how could those people have believed it? And, of course, the answer is we don't believe it. We recognize it's nonsense. We are still hearing all of this talk about the only opposition to high taxes is coming from Obama haters and those GOP millionaires who are shamelessly using poor people to preserve their wealth from the tax man. And they're just trying so hard to split the tax protest along party lines or cultural lines or socioeconomic lines, and don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. This is not rich versus poor, young versus old. This is all of us Americans together are taxed too much and get back far too little. We're taxed to make Wall Street financial firms richer. We're taxed to pay for things that kill people. We're taxed to send money to Israel for them to kill people, including the family of Jesus. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. But some of the propaganda we're seeing, the media is starting to go after some of the individual organizers for the tax protest tomorrow, and they're saying they may be extremist anti-government groups. Well, by definition, if you're opposed to high taxation, you're opposing at least one policy of the U.S. government. So that's kind of a given. If you're protesting against tax, yeah, you're opposed to the government. But they're trying to portray the Constitution Party as an extremist anti-government group. They're throwing out that word extremist, like there's something extremist about saying, please let us keep more of our own money. From the point of view of the government, I'm sure that's an extremist point of view, but it certainly isn't for American patriots. That's the reason we kicked out the last government in 1776. Krugman is basically going on that this whole tax protest idea is solely the idea of right-wing billionaires, that nobody else in America would have thought about the idea that maybe we're being taxed too much money except for the right-wing billionaires who really have got enough money and they should be glad to pay taxes. And you, working class and middle class people, don't you fall for their dastardly plot. You know, they're only using you to preserve their own wealth. And then the final one, because part of the symbolism of the Tea Party is that people are taking tea bags and mailing them to various politicians. And so one of the propagandas we're seeing now is, you know, those tea bag protests, you really shouldn't do that because they might think it's anthrax in that envelope and they'll get scared and traumatized. Well, I'm sorry, if they're that emotionally fragile, they shouldn't be in government anyway. Now, I'm personally of the opinion that mailing tea bags is kind of a limp-wristed, weak gesture anyway, and I don't think our Congress should be afraid of tea bags. There are much more credible things for them to be afraid of, like, you know, flaming torches and pitchforks and things like that, and ropes and rails and tar and feathers. We're kind of getting into that whole situation. But just judging by the propaganda, the fear that there might actually be a populist tax revolt where all of America stands up tomorrow and says, no, we're not going to pay. It's clearly the U.S. government is seriously afraid this might happen, and they're trying to find some way to stop it. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I have to say a word in defense of CEOs. Not every CEO is incredibly, incredibly rich. Yes, there are some that are. But there are a lot of CEOs that aren't. I'm one of them. What really happened is actually a corporation. So technically, I'm a CEO. That and 20 bucks will get me a dinner at McDonald's, I guess. But no, there's no question that there's a lot of corruption going on there in the financial system. We're hearing time and again how many of them are crooks. They're looting their own companies. Bernanke was on TV today just admitting, there was some recklessness and some excessive compensation before and just hemming and hawing about the same kind of stuff that we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks here. Now, before we go, we've got a caller on the phone, but I want to get back to this thing about the tea bags and trying to equate them with terroristic threatening because they might be confused with anthrax mailings here. And hard on the heels of that, we've got this Homeland Security Threat Assessment Report was leaked in the last couple of days. One of the things it does, it is now trying to equate people who are opposed to abortion with white supremacists. Now, that's a little bit of a leap, and you're wondering just what deranged individual is trying to make these hookups until you see this video that the Department of Homeland Security has put out. This is the 21st century version of reefer madness. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to be kind of my AGE to understand that. I think it's available online. Just Google reefer madness and watch it. It is a hilariously dumb attempt to propagandize that marijuana was bad, and it was shown to kids when we were at that grade school, middle school level. And it didn't convince us because it's dumb. It's lame. It makes a lot of unsupported claims. So now we have this new one from the Department of Homeland Security. Those lovable people who will fondle your wives and daughters at the airport and steal your property and drop your laptop computers. And we had another story about that on the website today. This video is called The Seven Signs of Potential Terrorists. And it is an exhortation for you, the patriotic, loving your government American, to be out there watching out for your neighbors. And according to this little piece of propaganda, anybody with a pair of binoculars, call the cops, they might be a terrorist. I mean, that's me. I've got binoculars. My wife gave me this wonderful set of astronomy binoculars. I have it out back of the home all the time because I like looking at stuff in the distance. Somebody outside working with a laptop, call the cops, it might be a terrorist. Again, that's me. That's why I have a laptop, so I can sit outside in the sun and everything. Someone lost in asking directions, call the cops. That's not me, I've got a GPS. But basically just goes down all of these things about things that happen in normal life every single day, and they're being construed as potential acts of terror. And the goal of this, of course, the government is aware. We're talking to each other. We're communicating. We're Twittering. We're texting. We're sharing our concerns with each other. And the government is desperate to find some way to isolate us again psychologically so that we're not talking with each other and we're not going out to those nasty old blogs. We're just huddled in sheer terror and fear at the terrorists, and we don't trust anybody around us because they might be an informant or they might be a terrorist, and so the only people we'll listen to is the government and the corporate media. And somebody actually thinks this is going to work because it did back in the 1950s. So anyway, here's the deal. They've got this stupid little video out there, and download it and save it, because 10 years from now, this is going to be put in the same collections that you see with Reefer Madness and these other lame, like Duck and Cover, about Bert the Turtle and how you could save yourself from a nuclear attack with a picnic table cloth. And it's just a laughable piece of propaganda. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to go to the phones. Rick in Kansas. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Hello. I really love your site, but I wanted to talk about a link that I saw that I feel is between the oil company and the current bailouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that the oil companies were the first ones to test whether or not the public was going to get upset by stealing our money. Okay, because before they raised the prices to outrageous $5 a gallon till it's pretty much back where it is. That means they never had to charge us that much to begin with. Okay,
oh, yeah.
And then the government said, well, hey, that's a good idea. They ain't, you know, bitching too much about the gas. Let's steal more money, you know, and do it and give some of our other cronies. And I was wondering what you thought about that. And then I was wondering what you thought maybe about a class action lawsuit against the oil company, if that's even possible. I know we probably wouldn't win, and I know you're kind of against that. And then one last thing, I was wondering if you could touch on the Texas thing, because they just got done saying, you know, government, get out of our business, and what you thought about that.
Okay, well, taking them in order. First of all, you're absolutely correct. Large corporations, especially when they have a monopoly or collusion with the other players, yeah, they'll try and raise prices as high as they can to maximize their profits until they start getting a backlash. In the case of the oil companies, we simply stopped driving. And then all of a sudden, the oil companies had tons of oil and nobody to sell it to, and that drove the prices back down. And yes, the government's goal all along is to extract the maximum amount of money and work product from the population while providing the least back in terms of support. And that's kind of where we are as well. As far as a class action suit, I don't even know if it's possible, but certainly in the current political climate, I don't think you're going to get a court that is going to go along with you unless you have got evidence of such wrongdoing that it's just inescapable. Now, as far as the situation in Texas, I applaud them. We're seeing more and more states across the country are passing these resolutions saying that the government must be held to its constitutional limits, which is exactly the message this show and my website have had for the last 16 years. The Constitution is the original contract with America. We, the people, have a right to demand that the government obey the rules, and if the government won't obey the rules, we have a right to fire them. And so I applaud the people of Texas, and I'm hoping that we'll soon see at least three-quarters of the states pass a similar resolution. At that point, it becomes law under federal law. And if the government refuses to obey it at that point, the government is essentially admitting it's an illegal government, it's illegitimate, it's, you know, it's time to get rid of them and put somebody with better sense in power.
Just a follow-up on that real quick. Do you think, though, that the government actually took their plan, their economic plan or whatever of stealing our money, because the oil company did it first? Or do you think I'm seeing a connection that probably ain't there, and that the whole thing was set up with the housing market and giving people loans that shouldn't have got them?
Well, there are two schools of thought on that. One is that there is an intentional design to crash the U.S. economy in order to force us to accept a global government and global economy. The other is that we're just seeing the result of decades of greed and stupidity and short-sightedness. I tend to lean to the second one. But the end result is pretty much the same, and we're in trouble. Rick, we got to let you go here. We got to stop for some commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
When all this twists and steel, what's left away? Did these remaining holes reveal what?
And aloha. Welcome back to the show here. We've got a caller waiting on the line, but before we get to him, I wanted to get back to this topic about the extreme silliness of the propaganda that we're starting to see in what I think we're kind of in the final months of whatever's going to happen is getting ready to happen. Over the weekend, over the Easter holiday, I put out an article, Killing the Family of Jesus. And basically what it said is that given the modern genetic determination that the present-day Palestinians are the direct genetic descendants of the biblical Israelites, and given the fact that the historical Jesus came from an extended family, the Bible says he had brothers and sisters, and we can presume that Mary had sisters and other extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, and so forth and so on. John the Baptist was supposedly Jesus' cousin. So we know he had an extended family. And we can presume those people all had children. And those children had children, and those children had children, and so forth and so on. So, inescapably, many of the people walking around Palestine, probably given that it's been 2,000 years, probably almost all of them, are distant blood relations to Jesus. And Israel is killing them. And you, the American taxpayer, are being forced to pay for it. And we put this together. Originally, it began as a comment on an article about the latest shipment of munitions from the United States to Israel. It received such a tremendous response that I wrote it up into its own separate standalone article. That got linked to, picked up, and copied all over the place. And one of the places it got copied to was Desert Peace, which is a pro-peace website in Israel itself. And apparently, while there, it was read by somebody over at the Jerusalem Post, because their response today, without actually addressing the article, because the logic in it is, it's pretty solid. There really is no way to poke a hole in it. But this article in the Jerusalem Post just went on a rant about Desert Peace and whatreallyhappened.com with all the usual stuff. We're anti-Semites, we're this, we're that, and just trying to smear us any way that they can, and full of factual errors, okay? I'm going to read you a direct quote from the Jerusalem Post article. For example, one of the premier internet anti-Semites... And by the way, Rivero's a Sephardic name, so I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm a self-hating Jew. Please get your terminology correct. One of the premier internet anti-Semites runs his site and home business from the suburbs of Honolulu, Hawaii. That part he got correct. This blogger, who claims to know what really is happening in the world, is a radical leftist liberal type. I'm not. I'm a Republican. I'm a paleocon. Whose site gets a fair amount of traffic. That's accurate. I get more traffic than most newspapers. And seems to be a source of material for many other anti-Semitic blogs. Most of his content consists of links to legitimate news sites with his commentary. Okay. Here's the part that's really good. But reading his site, I've never seen this fellow address his own sins of occupation, the one where he's part of the horde of mainland Americans who've occupied Hawaii, breaking treaties signed with the sovereign kingdom of Hawaii. In that one statement, the author of this piece in the Jerusalem Post demonstrated to everybody that he hasn't actually read my site. He just decided he had to go after it and attack it because he couldn't attack the content of the Killing the Family of Jesus Christ article. So he's just going to go out and he'd smear on me. If you go to my website, or if you even Google the phrase, Hawaii is not legally a state, you will see the articles that I have been running over many, many years on this very issue. It's even linked to the little submenu at the top of the main page. In fact, it happens to be right next to the article, The Killing of the Family of Jesus Christ. So, again, this author of Jerusalem Post, it's a smear attack. It's the usual thing. Nothing in it that's factual. He doesn't actually challenge any of the things I've made. He just comes out with that label, oh, he's an anti-Semite, he's an anti-Semite, he's an anti-Semite, and just goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, it's that kind of knee-jerk panicked reaction that we're starting to see that tells us that Israel knows they're losing the propaganda war. I mean, they're all over the net right now with their megaphonies and everything. They're going to YouTube. They're trying to get any videos about Operation Cast led from the Palestinians, Gazans' point of view. They're trying to get it removed, blocked. It's a violation of the terms of service because it's racially motivated. Meanwhile, the IDF has their own video about what great heroes they were in Operation Cast led that is just plastered everywhere. They're trying to rewrite history. And all they're doing with the sheer force of this effort to rewrite the history of Cast-Lead is to underscore the possibility that they've been rewriting history all along. And that is an observation a lot of people are making as they watch this, that Israel seems to have this attitude that history is what they're going to decide it's going to be and not what really actually happened. So anyway, I'm kind of flattered that I'm worthy of the notice of the Jerusalem Post. And but again, he kind of shot himself in his own foot with that comment about ignoring the situation here in Hawaii, because it's an issue I have brought up here many, many times. Not on the website, even here on the show. We've had Leon Hsu, who's part of the Sovereign Kingdom of Hawaii, has been a guest on our show on numerous, numerous occasions. So, okay, anyway, that's it for Jerusalem Post. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go to Josh in Texas. Aloha, Josh. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi. Actually, what you were just talking about was the subject of my focus. I've heard you suggest in the previous week, you know, that there's this link to us paying our taxes is helping Israel kill people, kill mm-hmm. Jesus' family, descendants, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, what is the next probable, like, course of action to pursue then to not be funding any longer this war machine? Because I'm definitely not interested in helping anybody weapons to kill anybody for any reason. So, I mean, my question to you is, I mean, are you paying your taxes?
I'm in so much tax trouble right now, it's just, you know, it's... I don't want to go into it, but as a matter of fact, I don't want to talk about my own personal relationship with the Internal Revenue Service. It's not a pleasant and cordial one, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm in the same situation
with most other Americans. You know, I can either pay to keep a roof over my head or I can pay taxes to the government. I can't afford to do both. And that's the situation with a lot of people. As far as what to do about the situation, you need to get angry. You need to get vocal. And as more and more people, and we're going to see this tomorrow, as more and more people stand up and say, we can't afford this anymore. And the government says, well, you got to pay it anyway. It's going to become apparent that Americans have lost the freedom to say no. We talk about Americans being free. We talk about Americans being so free, the terrorists hate us for it, and yet we've lost the most basic freedom of all, which is the freedom to say no. There is no freedom without the freedom to say no. No to being lied to. No to having our kids stolen from us and sent off to fight wars in foreign countries. No to having our tax money showered all over Israel so that they can buy weapons to kill people with. And the reason I wrote this story about the killing the family of Jesus Christ is because without the support of fanatical Christians in this country who believe that supporting Israel is going to bring around the end times, without that support, Israel... Whoa, are you all right? Okay, we lost something. I think we lost Josh there. Anyway, to finish this up, without the support of that fanatically religious element who believes the end times prophecies are at work, Israel would have a much harder time subverting our Congress to the will of a foreign power. But considering that we're continuing to see this money go over there, even though it is illegal under the Symington Act for the United States to be funding a nation that has nuclear weapons without signing the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, we're still sending them the money. And everything that we have seen over the last year really does hammer home the point. We're under foreign occupation in the United States of America, and we are not free. We are not free because we don't have the freedom to say no, and we need to get that freedom back. Believe it or not, that was what the Second Amendment was there to preserve. The freedom to say no. Thomas Jefferson wrote it himself. The freedom as a last resort to throw off tyranny in government. We've got to get that freedom back, the freedom to say no. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We've got another caller on the line, Sherry down in Texas. Aloha, Sherry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just thought I would call in and offer some information in case there's anybody that fits my same tax profile. I am going to legally be able to avoid paying taxes this year because I basically my gross income is $53,000 and I have two children. So, and my husband's a stay-at-home dad. And by purchasing an IRA tomorrow, which I'm borrowing the money to, I'm going to borrow the money, put it into an IRA, and then that will make my, that'll make it possible so that I owe $0 in taxes versus paying $1,500 or $1,800, I can't remember how much it was. But by paying $2,400 to get an IRA, put it in that account, and then pay off the loan at the end of the year when the IRA expires, then I'm not going to be able to pay. I'm not going to have to pay taxes, and I'm not going to have to pay. You know, I just pay off the loan with the IRA at the end of the year. So I just thought I'd throw that out there in case there's still people trying to legally figure out a way to avoid paying taxes.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of bookkeeping stuff going on. One of the problems is that the tax law is so confused. Even CPAs are messing up. We had that story where Martha Stewart's daughter is suing her CPA because he messed up her taxes. One of the reasons I'm having difficulty is our CPA, the last one we had, missed a huge deduction for like 11 years in a row and cost us like $10,000. And we're trying to sort out that mess and everything. Now, where I am as far as the tax situation is concerned, I am not encouraging anybody to break the law and to refuse to pay because if you act as an individual, the IRS will come down on you. And remember, the judges are all paid from tax revenues, so the court system is biased going in. But what I am saying is, and we're going to hopefully see this tomorrow, that when the entire American people all at once stands up and says, we're tired of paying this much money, you know, I hope the government will take notice and say, okay, we've got to change the way that we're doing things. Because other than that, the next step, you know, is definitely going to be a very unpleasant one for all parties concerned. I don't like that option either. But for 16 years, I have tried to convince the government of the United States gently that they need to adapt to the new realities of the world, which is to be truthful to the people of the United States of America, not to lie them into wars, and to remember that, you know, if you've got enough money to take care of your own immediate needs, there really isn't much point in, you know, gathering together billions and billions of dollars more to feed your ego. And that really wise leaders are judged not by how rich they make themselves, but by how rich they make the entire country around them. And that has to include those of us out here who are teaching students, laying bricks, putting in windows, healing the sick, ordinary everyday Americans. Measured by the welfare of the ordinary American citizen, the U.S. government is a total and complete abject failure. Sherry, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. We've got to switch over to Stephen in Oregon. Aloha, Stephen. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Hey, I got a better phone today. I was just listening to the caller. I want to be a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teasing. Anyways, I would also be careful.
Well, I'm a stay-at-home dad, but I'm not a dad, and my company's in my home, so it's, you know.
No, and I'm doing okay.
But we have a very loose dress code around here.
No, I hear. I do my work. It was just a joke. I have my own business over the Internet. But anyways, and then you got to be careful. IRA, they'll just take that, too. If you don't pay your taxes, they'll just take your IRA.
But oh, yeah, they will. And they're already talking about raising taxes and raising fees.
Yeah.
And, you know, Obama's already out. Well, we got to tax cigarettes more. It's for the good of the smokers.
It's what you said. People stand up. Okay,
yeah.
So I had another thing. I'll be brief. Is the first one was, is, the first thing I want to talk about, that I heard you earlier with, is I want to let you hold on to two things, Mike, is hold on to those things that be grateful. I don't know. I can't remember the word. Appreciative that the Jerusalem News or whatever, you know, even acknowledge you, and then to think.
Oh, I'm
going to
frame that. I'm going to frame that and put that on the office
wall.
Yeah,
and then
I'm
the other
proud
one
of that one.
And then that they shot their own selves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things is what I would suggest that you. I mean, that's how I think about you, anyway.
Oh well, thank you very much. But you know, if you're catching that much flack, you're over the target. Is the general
right.
Rule that I follow, And like I said, they didn't actually specifically mention the killing of the family of Jesus, but Steve over at Desert Peace and I are pretty much convinced that that was what they were responding to. And because they couldn't attack the content of the piece itself, they just wanted to start screaming bad names.
Huh? No, just a hit piece. It was a hit piece, but
oh, yeah.
I know that when I get hit on certain things, it can bother me a little bit. So what I have to do is go back to the truth to
yeah.
say I am, you know, I must be so important that I'm bothering them, and they
yes.
shot their own self in the foot.
I'm not bothered by this piece. I thought it was a giggle. I mean,
well,
I just that I
yeah.
that I even
sometimes
provoked the response.
Me, though.
Well,
hey, then I'll give you what. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. I apologize.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, then I want to let you know. I want to move on to the next thing. We got that one out of the way. I want to get through soon. So you can talk more. Anyway, so, hey, we're getting the same thing here. I'm in Oregon, and let's see. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. I wish I could, but I don't want to. But this is what's going on in here about our tax day tomorrow, because I'm going tomorrow to the Tea Party. Okay, the protesters have distorted view of history in today's tax reality. An action more of the real Boston Tea Party would be a protest against tax loopholes that allow profitable corporations in Oregon and nationally to avoid paying their fair share of income taxes. Actually, that's not what I... Oh, one more, and I don't mean to keep you. Sam Adams and the other American patriots must be rolling over in their graves. Political operatives have transformed the story of the people standing up to government that caters to powerful corporate interests into a message that serves the interests of the well-connected and the well-heeled.
Yeah.
Do you see how we're getting pounded?
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely trying to pound this idea that we're playing into the hands of the very, very rich by saying that we're tired of paying high taxes.
Right.
They're in a total panic. They are pulling out all the stops. And the thing is, everybody knows that's what's going on. And all they're doing is they're betraying their sense of panic, which in turn is betraying a sense of weakness. They're not confident. They're not confident that they can keep, convincing us to continue and pay the taxes and so forth and so on. And the bottom line is, we're at a point right now where it's not really an option. We're not talking about people just standing up and saying, I refuse to pay on a matter of principle. I think the big problem that we're dealing with right now is that people just don't have it, especially entrepreneurs and small businessmen. You know, this last year, they've had to make that choice between keeping a roof over their heads and making their quarterly tax payments. And what are they going to do? Write a check to the IRS and then start moving their furniture out to the parking lot? That's nonsense. It's unrealistic to even say. So now they're in trouble. We're going to have a record number of first-time delinquencies. I keep hearing that the non-compliance is already close to 50%. And so, you know, this is not something that any individual is going to go to court. I mean, we've had all these lawsuits about prove the 16th Amendment was ratified, and all the judges keep saying is, I declare that it's a true finding, which is a way of saying we're going to act like it's true even though we can't actually prove it. And like I said, remember, yes, there have been some significant court victories in overturning this idea that we owe taxes, a non-apportioned direct tax on our wages and salaries. There have been some significant court victories. But the judges are paid from tax revenues. The court buildings are built from tax revenues. The staff,
right.
The guards, everybody, they make their living off tax revenues. There is a conflict of interest there that should preclude the courts from ruling on tax law, but of course they don't. It's the big nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We're going to pretend to be fair and accurate here, even as we gouge the American people for even more money. And the bottom line is that, there was another article we put up on whatreallyhappened.com today, which basically says that the future trends experts are saying we are ripe for a revolt in this
yes.
country, and it could start as early as tomorrow.
Yes, I agree. I'm really pretty upset, and I like you to say upset. You're very... You know, you're not violent whatsoever, and I do not think you're anti-Semitic, and anybody who does is just a friggin' whatever. But I think you're just trying to get out the truth.
That's exactly it. Truth above all, though the heavens may fall. I forget where that came from, but it's not original with me. I think I got it off a Burma
right.
shave sign.
Hey, can I share one last thing before I go?
But make it fast.
Yeah, I'll make it fast. Is I'm sitting here going, now I've been very frugal. You know, I drive a older truck and everything. I could have bought a new truck and all that kind of stuff. And I got a 15-year on the house, whatever, and got, you know, a lot of it paid off and everything. I am finding out that the philosophy of what's happening in this country is changing. And I'm going to go take my, I have the credit thing that you can do on your house or whatever. It's only about 2 or 3% right now. I'm going to go out and spend everything. I am going to get so in debt because it seems like the people in debt get helped.
Yeah, they get the bailouts. They get the bailouts. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we do something. Anyway, that's it for our show. Thanks, Stephen Collin, again. Tomorrow, again, find a tea party. There's going to be one here in Honolulu. I'm going to be going down with the camcorder and taking video of that whole situation. And please, keep it peaceful. Until tomorrow, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, and aloha, America.